is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Wait for Madness coming up in about 15 minutes, including John Hollinger putting a price tag on what Rashawn Holmes should be getting per year. Now, Hollinger's mathematics are not questionable, but they don't always translate. How do I say this right without disrespecting him? Expectations don't always shake hands with reality.
Sure.
When it comes to his prognostications. But it's a decent sidebar on whether or not Rashawn Holmes is coming back to Sacramento. Spoiler alert, he's not, almost certainly. We'll get into that amongst other things. Right now, though, we've got a packed Soundgarden. Let's start it.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today.
Soundgarden.
It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
You know, I thought the wind died down compared to yesterday. I didn't think it was as bad, so you could be a little bit more aggressive. Drove the ball great. Love my driver. Everything's going really well.
That's Brooks Koepka. In response to Bryson DeChambeau slamming his driver and the company and the people behind the driver, that's Cobra, which they probably don't appreciate me saying that. He, of course, makes it a point to put that in his post-match comments. And also, if you missed it, which you probably did, he tweeted out that day a picture of himself with his driver and a big smile saying, driving into the weekend.
You know, he also put out who his favorite band or artist is. You know who it is? Tom Petty.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka is a petty troll, and I'm kind of here for it. Like,
it's entertaining, but petty.
Listen, we know that 80% of golf is stuck-up ding-dongs, and Brooks Koepka is just playing into that role. That's great. Do it. And it's not like I feel bad for Bryson DeChambeau. Listen, Bryson, you want to stick it to Brooks Koepka. I don't know. Win golf tournaments.
It's a good idea.
And then you can shoot a McGavin your way all the way to the top, dude. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with Brooks doing it. It's not like he's innocent through this whole thing.
Really?
Yeah, really. Number two.
Soundgarden.
A very high-ranking official with the Nets who had a lot to do with the money said basically there's a blank check as soon as these guys got here, whether that's buying a girlfriend or a girlfriend on the side, a house in California for a week, whether that's just putting up money for the boys and the homeboys, and they're totally cool with that. Just renting a house on the team dime. These guys don't pay for a lot of personal stuff themselves, and so the financial team of the Nets would kind of come every week or so. They'd be like, okay, like we thought we had this under control. We got to redo the budgets every week. And they were like, it was just a new thing every damn time. There's a lot of things that the Nets do that aren't kosher. There's a reason they have this kind of Kremlin-esque wall around everything they do. During the middle of COVID, they were working out half the team. Well, really Kyrie, KD and their friends on the team out in Kobe's old gym in California. You weren't allowed to do that during COVID. You had to have all these strict protocols, one coach, one this, masks, gloves on while you touch the basketball. But they were running like a secret camp the whole time, trying to get KD and Kyrie in shape.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. All right. Boy, is this right in my old wheelhouse. I love this topic. That's a guy named Matt Sullivan. He's got a book out called Can't Knock the Hustle. He was on the Dan Le Batard show. So a couple of things. Number one, that's a major cap violation. And number two, and I can't stress this enough, for years I felt like a sports radio Alex Jones. Sometimes it's like I've been screaming this stuff.
I don't know if I'd ever admit that.
I've been screaming this stuff, and it's like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, but I assure you I'm not wrong, and someday the lid's going to get blown off of this. Some enterprising and connected reporter who's more talented than I is going to blow the lid off of two big things in the NBA. Number one, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, the quid pro quo that a couple of very major journalists have with teams when it comes to reporting picks, breaking stories, the power they have over these front offices and owners and in some cases players. That is a whole Pulitzer Prize winning research thing in itself. But this, the other thing I would stress is the Nets might be the worst offender. I don't know. But they all do it at one level or the other in ways that are so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, now we're talking about paying for houses for girlfriends of superstars.
Not just girlfriends, side chicks out in L.A.
Right. Well, I've said for a long time, listen, and this is nothing new. The faithfulness of married folk in professional sports, and at least in the NBA in particular, cannot be over 50%. This is a well-established lifestyle. Sure. When you're on the road and, you know, you've got the separate phones and whatever. But that's their personal life, and that's
whatever.
Ultimately none of our business. But I'm not just talking about stuff like that. Let me give you another example. Superstar player wants to fly he and his friends to Maui, or wants to fly up a couple of people, this, that, or whatever. Well, most teams and most owners have private planes. In fact, I'm sure they all do. Well, you can't just let a player use the plane. That's a CBA violation. But if you charge the player to use the plane, it's not a CBA violation.
Then reimburse them?
No. $1.
I
have personally witnessed in the past, and by the way, don't just assume it's the Kings either, just because I'm talking about it, a player getting a private flight from a team for $1 on multiple occasions. This is regular. This is a normal thing.
Yeah.
I talked before. I don't have any way of proving it right now, but I've often said, please somebody take a good hard look at the Warriors circa 3, 4, 5 years ago, and please tell me, please take a look at off-court investments players make, players' families and agents make, connected to ownership, mm-hmm. many of which are in the tech industry, and what kind of gains they got. There are so many things that happen in the NBA that are benefiting players that give bigger markets or certain owners a massive competitive advantage.
Right.
Beyond the fact that if you sign a deal in Texas or Florida, for example, you're making far more money than you do in California because of the tax code. And these are all things that fans don't really care about. It's not interesting. It's not juicy.
Yet.
But when somebody makes the proper connection, when it comes to stars landing in certain markets over and over and over again, because ownership and the franchise are doing things that are not legal in the NBA.
Kosher, as Mr.
Right.
Sullivan said.
Like, dude.
It's just, I mean, to your point, they all do it to some degree, but doesn't, like, just hearing it, especially with a team like the Nets, just make you hate them even more? Like,
yes.
doesn't this just add a new layer to, like, the villain that
yes.
is the Brooklyn Nets right now? Because to me, they are the biggest villains in the NBA. This just adds more of it just adds another layer. It's like, ugh.
It's so weird, dude. But it's so normal. It's just fines being refunded at the mm-hmm. end of the year by either teams or shoe companies.
Well, it's like you said, you know, paying $1 for the private jet. It's equivalent to, like, you know, hey, I have a lawyer friend. I need some advice. Here's $1 so that we have, what is that, client lawyer privilege? What is it called?
Attorney-client privilege,
because I've paid you $1.
Right.
And it's so scandalous.
It's also scandalous, dude, and it sucks, and it needs to be policed. And the sad thing is at some point, some team or some player is going to get loose and do something stupid, and it's going to become public, and the NBA is going to have to get on it. And mm-hmm. some team's going to end up getting punished as the poster child. When all these other teams have been doing it.
You know, it's funny. It won't be the Nets or any major market team like that. It's going to be like what we saw with the Kings in Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be the Kings for because the assistant GM looked the other way and didn't report a player jaywalking across David Stern walkway or whatever it is. And that's a fiduciary duty that they shirked, and $10 million.
Or the assistant GM bought Carl's Jr.'s for a guy at another team, right, a Western Bacon Cheeseburger.
Like, give me a freaking break. All right, number three.
Soundgarden.
I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said, and, you know, it hasn't come from me. So, number one, it's not true. And secondly, I'll also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So there's really no need for anybody else to speak for me or report this or report that.
That's Dame Lillard responding to reports that he would be asking for a trade. Now, first off, I don't know who needs to hear this. Actually, I know exactly who needs to hear this. But when people other than you leak stories or say things that might be disparaging or make your own fan base uncomfortable, that's mm-hmm. how you handle it, by the way.
Yes.
That's how you handle it, by directly refuting it and going on record.
Can we say that's a direct refute when at the end he says, I haven't made a decision about my future yet?
I was going to say the other thing is if I'm a Blazers fan, I'm actually a little more nervous now mm-hmm. because in the process of refuting it, he's saying, I haven't made a decision. Well, that tells me, and maybe I'm wrong, but that tells me that whoever in Dame's camp leaked that knows that that decision is coming, and that's the way the decision will go.
Yeah. And again, him saying, I haven't made a decision yet, tells me, like, well, they just hired a new head coach.
Right.
And I haven't made a decision yet? No, your decision should have already been made. Like, that conversation should have already happened.
Yeah. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, John Hollinger puts a price tag on Rashawn Holmes in free agency, and Kings fans aren't going to like it. Is Colin Morikawa the biggest superstar in golf? And you know what? I'm smelling. I have a big nose. I can smell up. Oh my God! Is that football? Is that football around the corner?
Foosball, Bobby.
We'll do that next.
1, 2, 3.
It's three for madness time. Three for madness. Three questions. Three answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's three for madness. Here's question one.
All right, three for madness time. The over under we set on A's attendance tonight with Shohei Ohtani, the biggest draw in baseball, on the mound.
And a possible Mike Trout return.
And a possible return of Mike Trout, the best player in baseball. That's trademarked with Mike Trout's face on it. We set the over-under in attendance tonight at 20,000 fans. 20,000 fans. Now, keep in mind, Atlanta is averaging 28. Averaging. Texas, 27. Houston, 24. The Dodgers, 24, lest you think that's just because it's Georgia and Texas, which is a little bit of why. Colorado, 22. San Diego, 21. These are just averages. Averages. By the way, the A's are averaging 6,600 fans. And by the way, just to show I'm being fair here, I'm not just picking on the A's. The Giants are averaging a paltry 13,000 fans. The over-under we set is at 20,000. So far, with many of your votes in, 65% are taking the under.
Really?
And I think I actually think the better over-under would be 15. I think it'll be maybe between 15 and 20.
Wow. Okay.
I do. We'll see. I hope they show up. But
all because it's a manic Monday.
But, I mean, what did we say they had yesterday? 8,000? 8,200?
They had 85, something like
Sunday,
that.
On a Sunday, 1 o'clock for the second place Cleveland Indians. Whatever. Three for Madness, question one, Jay Martins.
John Hollinger of The Athletic thinks Rashawn Holmes is worth $18 million per year in free agency. With the Kings only currently able to offer $11 million in the 21-22 season, how likely is it Holmes is gone?
I've said from earlier in the season, right before the trade deadline, I know we started talking about Rashawn Holmes and free agency. It's going to be, I think, around four years, $48 million, which would be $12 million a year, or maybe 3 years and $42 million, which would be around 14. I think he's going to get between 12 and 14 annually on a 3 or a 4 year deal. Both of those are above what the Kings could pay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Kings could sign him to a 1 year deal for the max they can offer, and then they'd have Bird
bird rights.
Rights.
Full bird rights.
But that's a lot of trust from Rashawn Holmes on that front. Listen. I would say that Rashawn Holmes might owe, and I say this with air quotes when I say, oh, they don't owe anybody anything, but, you know, the Kings a little bit of a hometown discount because obviously they love the city, and the Kings were the ones that signed him and gave him the opportunity, and he did, he ran with it. Don't get me wrong.
I'll say he earned the opportunity.
And that's why I'm not trying to come off like all credit to Rashawn Holmes. I'm saying just in these scenarios, sometimes a player will go, you know what? This is a great place for me. This is where I really, my career launched. I'll give him a little bit of a discount, but that front office is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the sad thing is this, I would be not surprised, not taken aback. I would be fall off my chair shocked, I say, if Rashawn Holmes suited up for the Kings next year. Shocked.
The only way I see it is if they somehow get off of certain salary that gives them space to sign him in that $15 to $18 million
range. But hold on, I thought they couldn't.
No, I'm saying that, like, for instance, they trade Buddy Hield and...
No, but I'm saying I thought they were maxed on what they could offer him.
I think that's because of where they're at. Like, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're maxed on where they what they can
well,
offer him.
Not necessarily. Well, unless they have, again, if they have $15 million of cap space, they can offer him the cap space.
Is that true? Because I thought they were limited because of the con. I could be wrong.
But I think right now, because they're when offering, because when you factor in the number 9 pick, they're going to operate as an over-the-cap team. They have early bird rights on him, which is different than full bird rights. Mm-hmm. But if the Kings were to get, you know, $20 million under the salary cap, they could potentially offer him more money.
See, the Kings have his early bird rights.
Mm-hmm.
So the team can offer him a maximum 4-year deal worth up to 175% of this year's salary.
Correct. But remember, that's because they're operating as an over the cap team.
Or 105% of the league average salary this season, but that's without affecting their cap. Meaning
if they were like $25 million under the cap, they could give him $15 per starting, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm gonna have to ask about it.
Either way.
We need some nerds.
I'm going to say this, though. I think, you know, I think he could get 4-60 from a team like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Who, when they look at what they have, they know they were a center away from probably being a legit playoff team last year because the center position was so awful for them. They got a lot of cap room to work with, and we know Mitch Kupchak has no problem overpaying for centers.
Right.
Dallas is another team under the cap that needs help at center. The Knicks have all the cap space in the world. The Spurs have cap space. These are all places that he would fit in really well.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be shocked to see him get. And for Rashawn, dude, I mean this from a personal standpoint. Don't take like a 1-year deal with the Kings and then, you know, because if you get hurt,
right,
you're screwed. He's 28, dude. This is going to be probably your last big contract in
the
league.
Correct.
First and last.
Go get a 4-year deal.
Money, dude.
Go get a 4-year deal.
Four-year
go
deal.
Get generational money. And if he goes, and I said this at the trade deadline, and I'll stick to my word on this. I believe in Monty McNair.
Mm-hmm.
I like Monty McNair. I think he and his team are the best front office we've had since Jeff Petrie. But he's going to have to answer the question, why did you not move Rashawn Holmes at the trade deadline?
I agree.
Why is it that in a calendar year we will have lost Bogdan Bogdanovich and Rashawn Holmes for nothing? And I'm not saying he can't answer it or that any answer he gives will suck. I'm saying that needs to be the first question lobbed at him the next time there's media available.
I agree.
Number two.
Question two.
Is Colin Morikawa the biggest superstar in golf?
No, it's Tiger Woods, but that's obvious. Let's push Tiger aside, though. Active superstar. I still say no. I think, weirdly enough, Rory McIlroy is still a bigger superstar, I think,
mm-hmm.
than Colin Morikawa. Dustin Johnson, maybe?
I mean, Dustin Johnson's number one player in the world.
Right, but I'm talking superstar. Like, you know, not just best.
I know he's old, really old. But just from a name recognition, because that's when I think superstars and Phil Mickelson.
I agree with you. But I'll tell you something. This kid's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it all. The mental makeup,
dude,
the game.
a year from now after the 2022 Open, it's going to be interesting to see if he racks up one or two more majors in that time next year.
We can do because
if he does, we're going to be having a conversation much deeper about that year from now.
And on top of that, we haven't even seen the personality much yet, the endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of that's going to factor in. What are the big corporations going to do with Colin Morikawa?
Yeah.
Are they going to give him the right commercials, et cetera, et cetera? All right, number three.
Question three.
Very quickly, the Cowboys and Steelers open camp this week. Are you excited for some football?
Yeah, I don't care about the Cowboys or Steelers, and they play in the Hall of Fame game. That's why they're opening up
Woo!
Early. But we got the Olympics starting. We got the camps opening on Wednesday. By the time the Olympics are over, all the camps will be open. We got a Hall of Fame game coming in about 2 weeks. The NBA draft coming. We're in the official pennant race now.
Isn't the Hall of Fame game the most game I care about that I don't care about?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't actually care about the game. Just it means football's here.
I get butterflies leading into the Hall of Fame game. I get butterflies when I see the opening credits, the announcers, the kickoff, and then always by the end of the first quarter, I'm like, okay, that was cool. Let's go watch something else.
Right. Same.
It's but yeah, dude, we're almost there, man. We're almost through the crap of summer.
And hasn't been that crappy though.
Well, no, it has.
With the NBA finals extending into July.
Yes, COVID has made for a better sport summer, unfortunately.
Thanks, COVID.
However you want to put it.
Good looking out.
and listen, we're far way away from summer actually ending, and by summer I mean the heat. In the meantime, that doesn't mean you don't need propane. Trust me. The nights still get a little bit cool. I mean, it was warm the last couple nights, but I was running the fire pit on Friday night. And a lot of y'all are propane users when it comes to grilling. Okay. We always want to have a spare around, at least one. You don't want you do not want propane anxiety. And that's where Cinch comes in. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. We love them because they provide you a service that matters. Go to cinch.com, order a propane tank exchange or even a spare tank. It'll be at your house within 2 days. They'll take your old tanks, load them up in their truck, and they'll drop off nice, new, shiny tanks. That's it. It's cheaper than going to the gas station. It's cheaper than anywhere I know you'll get propane. And right now, if you've never used Cinch before, use promo code DAVE. Your first exchange is $10. That's it. No strings attached. No hidden whatevers. I've got nothing but compliments on Cinch, and that's what I love in an endorsement when it really is something I know you're going to enjoy. Cinch.com, promo code DAVE. Cinch, C-Y-N-C-H.com. Promo code DAVE. We'll take a break.
Yeah, that was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, halftime. We'll recap the big stories of the day. And then I want to get into some of the things Giannis Antetokounmpo not only did but said over the weekend, which I think is going to spawn another conversation. Who are the best personalities in the NBA right now? We'll do all that next.
If you want a unique angle on a topic that no one in their right mind would think of, you're in the right place. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
One of the fun stories I'm enjoying following as it unfolds. Granted, there will be bad stories coming out about this stuff, but watching college players getting paid in different fashions, I'm enjoying because good for them.
Right.
Now, again, like everything new, it will be exploited. There will be nefarious dealings going on.
What? Not in college sports.
Ah.
It's amateur. It's, you know, it's for the love of the game.
Right. Nobody should make money. Well, Jay's good friend Darren Revelle put out some cool information.
Love me some D. Revelle.
Michigan football players will be the first to make money off their jersey sales as players strike a deal with a retailer. The deal for Michigan players, every time a jersey of theirs gets sold, they'll make a little more than $10 per jersey sold. Now, listen, that can be a nice chunk of change, and I kind of like that on the again, on the surface, that's great because you're getting the argument was always, well, if you're going to pay players, well, then how can you pay the quarterback at Michigan the same as the backup offensive lineman? Well, it's called the market, and so now those jersey sales of that backup lineman are probably not going to be anywhere near what the quarterback is.
No.
However, as we've mentioned before, when Jimmy John alumni booster, you know, Pighead shows up and he buys $1 million worth of an offensive lineman's jersey so they can sign him, okay. Anyways, what I found interesting about this more than anything else, more than $10 a jersey sold for Michigan players, their name on the back. That's twice as much as what NFL players make per jersey.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And you know, if there's something athletes love, it's when they find out that other athletes are making more money than them for when they Dude, shouldn't be.
I can't wait for guys that were, you know, stars in college to complain about not being retroactively paid. That's going to be another storyline you're going to see very soon.
Oh, I'll go a step further. I can't wait to start hearing stories of the senior college football player that could have been drafted as a junior but said, I'm making more money.
That's going to be the best one, right?
I'm making more money in college than I would in the NFL.
Oy boy.
I'm going to do this. Halftime now.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
0-2, swing and a bouncer to short. In to pick it up, Estrada straightens up now and throws to first for the out. And that's the ball game.
Why are we playing a sounder of the Giants winning against the Cardinals from Friday? I personally would like to think that's Jay's way of reminding me that the Giants won a game in that series.
They did.
They lost the next two. As the A's did, they lost the next two. But onward and upward, the big deal today, the A's take on the Angels. Shohei Ohtani is on the mound. He is the biggest draw in sports. By the way, hit another one yesterday. Hit another home run.
Yeah, I saw it.
KHK will have your coverage of that. And that game starts at, what, right about 12:37. I'm going to say that, first pitch.
I think that's tomorrow's game.
God dang it, I did that again. why does
coverage begins at 6 tonight on Sports 1140 KHTK.
That's the second time I've done that. I think they have Tuesday on Monday. I'm looking at it right now because I wouldn't do that twice, would I? Right here on KHTK.
Would you?
At some point today, the Angels are going to play the A's. And we'll have it right here on KHTK. Cole Irvin on the mound for the A's. And oh, by the way, as if that wasn't enough, split your screen, have two TVs out, whatever you need to do. Giants, Dodgers, Kevin Gausman, a walking W against the Giants versus the hated Dodgers at Chavez Latrine.
Isn't this when it's fun? Is there's a game between the two for first place?
It is fun, and I am fully engaged now. Second half, I'm fully engaged. Screw you, buddy.
Wow.
And your Dodgers. Oh,
wow.
Burn hell.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take you a step further. You go to hell, and you go to hell, and you die.
That's from Family Guy.
I thought that was South Park.
Jay.
I don't know. You
I'm
have
trying to anger the texters.
I understand that, but when you mistake the game time of the A's game twice in one morning, I don't know where we're at mentally.
Yes, that was South Park. Number two.
Halftime. And with a score of 265, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. Good job, Colin.
The champion golfer.
Yeah.
I love in his post, he didn't even know how to say it correctly, like what he won. He called it the British Open and like the golfer champion thing.
Yeah.
And
as you jokingly said earlier, the clarinet jug.
Yes.
Yes. Colin Morikawa finishes in first. Jordan Spieth in second. Louis Oosthuizen and who was it? Louis Oosthuizen. It was somebody good. Finishing it. Oh, John Rahm.
John Rahm.
Tied for third.
John Rahm with a little baby comeback.
Ja Rahm did have a little baby come.
I mean, he was the favorite going in, if I'm not mistaken.
He was. He was the favorite coming in. And he did not have a great first round at all. And then he absolutely turned it on. The story, the thing that Jordan Spieth is going to remember, and he said that in his post-round, is bogeying 17 and 18 after being in a great position off the tee on both holes, which if there's a problem with Spieth, it's him off the tee during this tournament, and he'd get a little wanky this way and that way.
Hey, now.
Hey, now. for him to be in a great spot for his second shot and bogey both, he bogeyed both. That's a massive, massive disappointment for him, because if he just pars both, he's in the final group. And as he said, when you're in the final group, you feel like you can control the outcome. He finishes two shots behind Morikawa, and he finished 17 and 18 on Saturday with bogeys. I'm not saying he would have won, but I'm saying that very well could have been the difference.
I agree.
And that's why, to me, golf, there is no more major sport that is anything close to the mental toughness you need in golf.
It is such an easy sport with one swing of the club to either go super confident or just have your confidence completely wrecked.
Absolutely. Well, anyways, congratulations. Congratulations to Colin Morikawa winning both the U.S. and British Opens in the same year, just 24 years old.
I think he won the U.S. Open last year.
Or no.
He didn't win the U.S. Open this year.
He won the, no, Rahm was trying to do the U.S. Open, the British Open. Excuse me. Morikawa won the PGA Championship in this one. Thank you for correcting me on that. Number three.
Halftime. Actually, Phil won the PGA Championship.
No, the year before.
Chicken wings again in the lane. Holiday rips it away.
I just want to stop this real quick and go back because I looked like a fool for the Open thing. I didn't mean Morikawa won the PGA Championship this year. I'm saying his two majors are the PGA Championship and the British Open. I had to stop that down because I can only be embarrassed so much by my own words.
Silly goose.
Here's number three.
Booker driving. Chicken wings again in the lane. Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that? It's Drew Holiday with the steal, taking it away from Booker.
And that was your Saturday night. How about that? The Bucks go into Phoenix, and they beat the Suns 123-119. Listen.
Great freaking game.
I was just going to say, here's something that's not being talked about enough. The Suns were up 37-21 at the end of one. Mike Budenholzer was calling timeout after timeout after timeout, trying to stop the bleeding. The Bucks turn around and outscore the Suns 43-24 in the second. And then have the lead going into the fourth. The Suns outscored the Bucks 29-23. The Suns were getting blown out. It was over. And then they cut it to 15. And then they cut it to 10. And then 5. And then 3. This was the proverbial two boxers throwing haymakers back and forth, back and forth. You had some classic playoff moments, including that dunk, which followed the other classic playoff moment, which was Giannis's block. And I had said something, a lot of people had said the same thing too, but in heavy sarcasm, hey, this sure would be a great series if the markets were just a little bigger. Because of this idea that if you don't have, you know, LeBron and James Harden, Kevin Durant going again, if it's not the Nets and the Lakers, then it can't be a great series. Now, let me say this, and I understand the point people are making. But here's the truth about that statement. The NBA Finals would have been better with the Nets and with the Lakers playing each other.
At full strength.
At full strength. And by better, I mean far better ratings, far better numbers across the board, and you would have had far more engagement all the way around.
There's a lot more storyline with those.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Irving versus LeBron, back and forth. Of course, that's the dream matchup, but that's also kind of a casual outlook, I like to say.
No, it's very much for the casual fan.
And I'm totally being condescending when I say that. Because why sports fans get so drawn into ratings and numbers, like that becomes an argument point for them. I want to ask them, are you part of, do you work for Disney? Are you making money off of this? Because why do you care? I care, you care, and a ton of NBA fans care about the product on the floor and the games going back and forth.
Hey, this isn't like a normal TV show where if the ratings go down, you have to worry about it getting canceled.
Yeah,
That's not a thing.
Thank you. It's not happening. What we're seeing here is we're seeing two very evenly matched teams with plenty of star power. Now, is it LeBron and Kevin Durant? No. But Giannis was the two-time MVP, still is a two-time MVP, but won it two of the last 3 years, let's put it that way. You've got Jrue Holiday, who is an excellent player. You've got Chris Middleton, excellent player. And then you have DeAndre Ayton, an emerging excellent player, to go with Chris Paul in that storyline. Devin Booker and his emergence as a true superstar. It's not LeBron and AD and KD and Kyrie. It's not. And James, I get it, but it's a compelling series of basketball, and it shouldn't matter if it's L.A., New York, Milwaukee, Phoenix, or Sacramento and Alaska. It shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It does to some people, though, because they put their personal stock for some reason in a TV rating.
Who's to blame for that?
The media. And I don't like saying that, but it's the media. Because the media teaches us, in many cases, about bias.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about bias that matters. I'm talking about sports bias. And I'm talking about East Coast bias. East Coast bias is an incredibly real thing. And big market bias is an incredibly, incredibly real thing. I will always tell the story of the start of the playoffs. It was one of the years the Warriors won, and I was in New York City for a thing. And I remember it was an OT game between them and Oklahoma City. It was them and somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The game had started at 7:35. It was like 10 o'clock when they went to OT. I think the game ended at 10:30, which was 1:30 in the morning. Now, you have to understand that a lot of your syndicated sports radio, a lot of the stuff you see that simulcast on television, a lot of it comes off of the East Coast.
Yeah, I think pretty much all of it outside of Rome.
I can tell you from personal experiences being a sports morning show host that when there are things happening and it is midnight, 1 a.m., most of these guys are going to bed no later than 9 or 10 o'clock. And in many cases, they go to bed by 7 or 8 o'clock. So instead of being able to watch and feel the drama and then be able to have compelling points on it the next day, what they do is they get into the office at 4 or 5 a.m., whenever it is, and they look over the box scores. They read a couple of columns from beat writers and the like. They watch some SportsCenter highlights. And now they talk about the game. You cannot talk on radio about a game from you can fake it, but your ceiling is only so high.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch the game, you live the passion. You live the ups and downs, and your job the next day is to go and impassion people to feel the same way about it. You can't duplicate that. So that's the problem. Now, in this case, this is a wonderful series, and I'm here for it 100%. I hope it goes seven. But now we can say, we were laughing at it last week, now we can say Milwaukee has full momentum in the series, and Milwaukee figured something out after game two. They now have three consecutive wins. One is on the road. What have they figured out? What have they done? And we talked about it in the last segment. We talked about the finals. Jrue Holiday has stepped up offensively and defensively. They're playing DeAndre Ayton and forcing him outside as much as possible.
Yep.
He's still rebounding quite a bit, but they're forcing him outside. They're hounding Chris Paul, as we just talked
Phoenix
about.
Phoenix is not getting DeAndre Ayton enough touches near the basket.
They're not. They're absolutely not. DeAndre Ayton's ability just to keep the ball alive in many cases defensively, or should I say the offensive rebound, is huge. Watch how many times DeAndre Ayton off a missed Sun shot. How many times a game? Four, maybe five. He'll tip the ball out to another Suns player to reset at 14 seconds. That's an extra possession he provides. And you mentioned earlier how Drew Holiday is the X factor for the Bucks, and I agree with you, but Chris Middleton's also on line three.
For sure.
He has really been a revelation in these last three games.
And this is why I think it's so important that you get teams like Milwaukee and Phoenix in the NBA Finals, because Chris Middleton has been really good now for a while.
Right.
He's been really good, and most people don't truly understand or grasp it just because Milwaukee is not a team you're going to be instantly attracted to when it comes to television.
Sure.
Although you should, because they play a really fun brand of basketball. I guess what I mean, Drew Holiday is the X factor, is Middleton's been there. Giannis has been there. That has been their Batman and Robin, for lack of a better term, now sure. for several years. But I think with Milwaukee, the one big thing that they didn't have, they lacked that third player that, listen, is Drew a superstar? Is he a top five, top 10 player in the league? No. But Drew Holiday as your third best player
right.
is a really good freaking thing. And it just, you know, he had injury issues in New Orleans at times, and I think that's why he only has one All-Star appearance. But you're talking about a guy that doesn't need the ball
right.
to be effective, but if you give him the ball, he will be. And what he does on the defensive side of the ball, and we've really seen it in games 3 through 5, when it comes to really locking down Chris Paul and making life hell for him, they didn't have that guy. Eric Bledsoe is a really good defender, I should say, but he's not Drew Holiday. And that right there just brought them to another level, and it just all started to finally click.
So it did indirectly. Well, it makes me think. Are the Bucks markedly better if they have Bogdan Bogdanović
yes.
instead of Dante DiVincenzo?
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I wasn't thinking about it in that realm. I was thinking about it from Bogey's perspective. Bogey got 4-72 from Atlanta. The idea was in Milwaukee he wasn't going to get quite that, right?
Right.
In that trade, and he decided to take more money and go to Atlanta. Do you think there's part of him regretting that right now?
He's
in his late 20s.
I don't, because I know Bogey a little bit, and I know that he'd rather be as involved as he is in Atlanta than be what would probably be the seventh man in Milwaukee.
Would he be the seventh man, though?
Maybe sixth.
Sixth, but, like, dude, you're a top rotational guy yeah. on an NBA title team, and you'd still be making good money.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that was probably his one big contract.
Yeah.
So I understand that part of it, too. It's hard. That has to be a tough balance after a while as an athlete.
In between games, our very own Sam Amick asked Giannis, basically, I'm paraphrasing here. How do you keep your ego in check? How do you keep your outlook? How do you stay so balanced? I thought Giannis's, and many people thought Giannis's answer was fantastic.
From my experience, when I think about, like, oh, yeah, I did this, I'm so great, I had 30, I had 25, 10 and 10, or whatever the case might be, because right. you're going to think about that, oh, we won this and that. Usually the next day, you're going to suck. Simple as that. You, like, the next few days, you're going to be terrible.
Here's the thing. That's the clip we have of it. I am absolutely 100% not satisfied. Let me play you the whole question and answer on that.
I mean, you're 26 years old.
And Sam.
You know, I've covered plenty of players who didn't seem like they figured the ego part out until their 30s. I mean, who taught you about why that's important and to handle it that way?
I think I'll say life. Usually, let me tell you this. Usually when, from my experience, right? Like when I think about, like, oh yeah, I did this. I'm so great. I had 30, I had 25, 10 and 10, or whatever the case might be, because right. you're going to think about that. Oh, we won this and that. Usually the next day you're going to suck.
Right.
You know, simple as that. You, like, the next few days you're going to be terrible. And I figured out, like, a mindset to have that, like, when you focus on the past, that's your ego. I did this. You know, we were able to, you know, beat this team 4-0. I did this in the past. I won that in the past. Mm-hmm. And when I focus in the future, it's my pride. Like, yeah, next game 5, I do this and this and this. Right. You know, I'm going dumb. And that's your pride talking. Like, you, it doesn't happen. Like, you're right here. And I kind of, like, try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present. And that's humility. That's being humble. That's not setting no expectation. That's going out there, enjoying the game, competing at a high level. And I think I've had people throughout my life that helped me with that. But that's a skill that I've tried to, like, kind of, how you say, kind of, like, perfect it.
Master
it. Yeah, master it. And it's been working so far.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to stop.
You're doing okay.
That blew me away.
That's going to be one of those quotes that you're going to see put on posters.
Yep.
You're going to see it as a meme. You're going to see that video on social media for the next 30 years. It's so deep and so relatable. You don't have to be an athlete.
Nope.
Anybody that heard that can find it. It's related to literally anybody.
And I'll say it again. A guy who used to sell watches on the street with his brothers,
mm-hmm.
who now is richer than rich and is getting accolades left and right. Not only is his life a wonderful story, and you want to be careful sometimes at overpraising, at over... you know, I'm slobbering all over Giannis lately because I love athletes, I love sports, and I love when they truly are role models. But I've also been around long enough, and this has nothing to do with Giannis. I'm not trying to say anything. I've been around long enough that when you put too much stock in an athlete, eventually something comes out and it can crush you.
Sure.
But you should have that defensive mechanism about anyone. Giannis, to me, he's as close to a perfect superstar as we've had in a long, long time. He's humble. He's incredibly intelligent. He's been on the other side of the tracks. Now he's on this side. Oh, and by the way, he's incredibly good at what he does in his sport.
Yeah, I noticed.
And we don't have the time to do it right now, but I'd like to put Giannis up against other personalities going in sports right now, specifically here in America. I don't know that Giannis isn't the best personality in sports right now.
Oh.
I know, it's a longer conversation. And by the way, best personality
very
is very
obviously.
Subjective. But I real quick, Jay, give me the, other than not winning a title yet, give me the haters version of Giannis. The guy who hates Giannis more than anything.
Oh, well, I couldn't even.
Stayed in the small market.
If you're that guy, you something is drastically wrong with you.
He stays in Milwaukee. People from Milwaukee don't even want to go to Milwaukee. He stays there. People come to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not joining any super teams. And he's 48 minutes away from possibly winning an NBA title. That's good stuff. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we'll talk about these finals a little bit more this time on the floor. I also want to play some audio from Monty Williams as to why what he thinks is boring, I don't think is boring. Also, the last time the Milwaukee Bucks won the title, some things that might give you pause were going on in the world. We'll talk about all of that next.